feeling it. Let's do it. Moose crossings, red hot dogs, missing persons in salty bogs. Up to camp with Stephen King. River curses, Wesley sings. Homegrown horror.
Hello.
And welcome to a bonus episode of Homegrown Horror. I'm Jackson, a co-host.
I'm Bea, a co-host, and I'm not responsible for this.
I was the one that made the decision for the movie this month of August that we're in. And I decided to, it was really funny because we were all just hanging out, Bea and I, and we didn't know what we were going to be doing. So we just sat down with the computer, started researching, found a little old unheard of film by written by Mark Duplass.
Jackson's favorite daddy.
My favorite creep. And then directed by, who is it again?
Katie Asselton, who is his wife.
Yes. So Katie Asselton, been a lot of stuff. But what really brought us to this movie was we thought it was going to be a real schlock fest because we watched the trailer.
Yeah.
Which apparently declares that this movie is about friendship. They say that. They say true that this is about friendship. True friendship. Oh boy, I guess.
I think guess it's a, in a
think
way.
It's a little more.
So yeah, so this, so directed by Katie Asselton, also stars Katie Asselton, which she, most people I think will know her from Legion.
Mm-hmm.
And then it also has Lake Bell, who has been in a lot of stuff, Secret Life of Pets being one of her most recent. And then also Kate Bosworth, who we kept saying she looked like a horse girl. She was in The Horse Whisperer.
She's a horse girl.
But also she was in Blue Crush, which I vaguely remember. So
I think I'm having a memory of her in that movie now.
Yeah. Oh, the other thing is Lake Bell was also in Children's Hospital. That's the one thing that I actually really knew her from.
Love it.
But so we've got some people, like, we have three leading ladies who are all, they've been in a lot of stuff, nothing like super well-known blockbuster-y, but they get work.
They tread the boards.
Yes. And then there's some other guys, but I did not recognize them from, like, yep, nothing on the Wikipedia.
This film ended up being maybe we'll have a better idea as we're talking about it. I don't know what to think of this movie.
Yeah. So, there are three leading women and then three guys. One of them is Anselm Richardson, who was on NCIS Los Angeles.
Los Angeles.
Los Angeles. And then there's also Jay Paulson, who it looks like a lot of his stuff is more nothing. NYPD Blue, Mad Men for two episodes, CSI. So he's been on a couple things. And then William Bouvier, who does not have a Wikipedia article. So it's a very small cast, very tight-knit.
Let's start the wiki for William Bouvier.
I will say, here's the one thing that I like the most about this movie is it's filmed in Maine.
It is actually filmed in Maine.
It's filmed on Flint Island in Harrington, Maine. And there is a wildlife sanctuary up there. And I believe that is where
that's where they filmed, in the wildlife sanctuary?
Yes.
Did they get the permits?
I fucking hope so. Are
they treading around disrupting these loons and these turtles?
Oh my god.
We didn't see any wildlife.
Yeah, there's like no wildlife. You hear some birds, but I'm pretty sure that's in post-production.
Oh, definitely.
The other thing is, so Mark Duplass, also from Creep fame, but he was also in Legion. He wrote the screenplay, and he and his wife crowdsourced the funding for this movie on Kickstarter.
Wow. So this was something that was getting the backing of the fans, Mark Duplass, all these.
This is also is before Creep.
This is before
Creep. So we don't have the Creep fanboys.
No, we don't have the Creep fanboys, but Mark Duplass, I think, has been affiliated with the horror for
a while.
So I think there's some reputation that he's built up at this point.
It seems like his wife has also been in a couple lesser known horror movies as well. Katie Asselton. So they probably, people probably looked at that and they were like, I want in.
So I think would be good to say from the starting off with just kind of how we feel about this. We rag on a lot of the films that we talk about here, but we got to say, making a film is very hard. I couldn't imagine doing it. We have not made a film.
No.
You would have to actually do that to fully understand how difficult it is, which
I've been heard, in a film. Hard.
You've been in a film.
I remember the crew working very, very hard. It is very difficult. And then not only that, but post-production. And then I think the hardest part, one of the hardest parts is everything that comes after, all the work, footwork you have to do afterwards to get your eyes on your movie.
Right, yeah. All the self kind of promotions. Yeah.
And
part of that has to be like relied on with the help of your studio or whoever. And sometimes they just drop the fucking ball. There's so much that can go wrong for the success of your movie. And most of it is just as you're making it and not realizing that you're fucking things up.
Yeah.
And we said there's a good movie in here somewhere.
There is a good movie in here somewhere. It also premiered at Sundance as well. So
there's something kind of interesting about the film. Like I think that the story could be better. I think that
there are just a few, even if you didn't like change the story wholesale and like, cause I know we discussed like, oh, this would be a more interesting premise or, oh, what if they did that instead? But I think
if you just kept what they had. Yeah, you can improve it quite a bit.
Yeah, there are a few things that narratively, I think, derail it a little bit. One of which being the time capsule ex machina
that
doesn't pay off.
It's so dumb. It really is. Like, what is the point of this? But let's dive in.
So we've got three friends, it starts with two of the friends, Sarah and Lou. They are driving up through Maine. They're going to camp on a deserted island that they used to hang out on as teenagers just to reconnect, have a girls' weekend.
The greatest offense started almost immediately when they pulled into the parking lot. They got out of their Subaru and they had Connecticut plates.
Yep. But they also...
I immediately hate these characters.
So as they pull up to the dock... Not only do they have Connecticut plates, but also Sarah's being shady because she also invited another friend named Abby. And we find out that Abby and Lou have been estranged.
They have some bad history.
They've got some bad blood, as Taylor Swift would say. And Sarah is just sort of like, ta-da, surprise! So she told each of them that they were going on like a couple's trip, basically.
Yeah.
But she really is trying to get the two of them to talk.
Yeah, bring them together.
And they are like, no, Lou's like, I know what you're trying to do, but the answer is no. And then Sarah, out of nowhere, just says, I have cancer. And they're like, oh my God. She's like, I didn't want this trip to be about my diagnosis, but I wanted us to be able to be together again. And I don't actually have cancer. But you see, you never know what happens in life. So you guys need to get over it.
I would call my Uber and book a bus back to wherever the fuck I came from. It's like, I'm out of here, lady. You're nuts.
And now you're gonna spend four days on a deserted island with your friend who's apparently a liar.
Yeah,
and she's also very good at lying. That those are the two things that we've learned about her is she's a lying liar who lies who sits on a throne of lies.
It's impressive, but yeah, they for some reason agree to finally do this trip. They get onto the docks during a very poorly planned musical intro that feels like we're going to summer camp. It was odd.
Yeah.
It was a strange choice.
Yeah, and it's sort of, it reminded me of The Turning in a way, because it had this sort of like female rock vibe.
It did kind of have that female
this
rock
grungy
vibe.
Female yeah. rock vibe. Girl power. Girl power with three R's.
Girl
power.
A U and three R's, yeah.
So.
They get into a this little dinghy on the boat.
They just walk right up. Don't talk to anybody. They just steal this boat.
It kind of seems like they do steal this boat. And it's really impressive, B, because not only do all three of them fit onto this boat, but all of their emotional baggage does too. It's crazy.
I know.
I'm surprised to see it
afloat. They should be sinking. So they get to this island.
Like a rock, just right down.
Right down. Down into the depths where they belong. They get to the island, and they kind of...
That's kind of a nice sort of, like, easing into
yeah.
the island kind of thing.
And, you know, they're sitting with Sarah in between them because they can't fucking look at each other.
No, it's like, we need the intermediary buffer.
Yeah, and I wasn't totally sure, because there was a part of me that's like, is this the first time they've seen each other since they're falling out? How long ago was it? But I think the vibe that I eventually settled on is Sarah has been in contact with both of them.
Yeah.
But they haven't spoken to each other.
Yes. Yes.
And so
yeah, that inkling ends up being accurate.
Yeah. And Lou seems to be more aloof about this situation. She's definitely thrown the ball into Abby's court and is like, well, you're the one with a problem.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's the vibe that we're starting to get. And Sarah's like, okay, so remember we used to hang out here, something about being in a basement, and like trying to like conjure up this
memories, nostalgia.
Memory and nostalgia.
Remember when we liked each other?
Remember when we liked each other and we made a time capsule and we buried it here on this island? And it's like, oh no. So you dragged us out here for a time capsule. She gives each of them a hand-drawn map and a compass, which Chekhov's compass never pays off.
No, Chekhov's compass never pays off. Yeah. There's a lot of just shit thrown out there that doesn't really come back.
They start walking through the woods.
They don't emphasize the compass too much, though, to be fair.
But she gives each of them a compass.
Yeah, which is kind of like, that'd be handy. If you knew the layout of the island a little bit.
Yeah, so
which,
they start...
apparently they do, since they've been there.
Yeah, they start walking through the woods, and Abby is being crabby. And so then Lou does the whole, like...
What's your problem,
What's man? Your problem, man? What's wrong with you? What's your problem? What's your problem?
I don't have a problem.
I don't have a problem. You have a problem. And she's like, no, obviously, you're the one with the problem. Like, you're acting like a bitch. So it turns out that in high school...
Get this tea.
Yeah, get the tea. So in high school, Abby was dating this guy. And at a party, when Lou and the guy were drunk, they had sex. And it broke up Abby. Like, it broke apart the friendship of Abby and Lou because Abby felt like she had been backstabbed because she was planning on marrying this guy. And Lou is just kind of like, well, obviously he's a grade A douchebag. And Abby does bring up a good point. She's like, if he's a grade A douchebag for cheating on me, what does that make you?
Yeah, fair.
Because you're my best friend.
Yes, exactly. It's like, oh, who can I trust in this situation, you know?
Yeah.
So it's a fair point.
Because I think there is also a point to be made that's like, it's high school. You probably didn't want to be with that guy. But
right.
Lou then makes some assumptions because she's like, well, you're married now.
You have a pretty good life now.
You have a pretty good life now. And Lou's just, Abby's just sort of like, you don't fucking know me.
Yeah, you don't know my life. We don't talk.
Which is fair. And we do eventually, later in the story, in the movie, we find out that they are 30. And they make 30 sound like 50.
They really do. Like, they act like they're old maids by being 30.
So they probably...
Ow.
I'm trying to think, like, if this happened, like, let's say that this happened in, like, their senior year. because they don't say when this happened. We just know it's in high school. So let's say senior year-ish. So 17, 18 when this happens.
Yeah.
So it's only been like 12 years.
Yeah.
Thereabouts. Yeah. So they haven't spoken in 12 years. So Lou is like swinging around some heavy words for someone that hasn't spoken to this girl in 12 years.
Seriously. Yeah. A lot of assumptions.
Yeah, it's just 100%. Sort of like,
yep.
I think that there is something going on.
I think there must be something off with Abby's current marriage.
Because
of the way she acts later.
Yeah, she says some things. She says like, the, yeah, we'll get there. So, and they do kind of, Lou is very much trying to paint Abby as like this crazy woman.
Yeah, yeah.
She's like I've apologized so many times.
I already apologized.
And I think, here's the thing, because Abby does say you have never actually apologized because you didn't mean any of it. And there probably is something to be said for like, you don't know if somebody truly means an apology, but also at the same time, Lou is a little aloof about the whole situation. She's like, well, he's an asshole, so it doesn't matter. But is not really taking into the full consideration that like, that's your best friend.
Yeah.
And she thought she could trust you.
Yeah, yeah.
And you broke that trust, and that's upsetting.
Yeah, it's the trust issue, you know? How can you move on from that, especially with a friend? Like, that's it's tough to lose two people you presumed were going to be kind and you could trust.
I think there is also something, because this has happened to me before, where someone will apologize, but you know that they're not, like, they don't think it's a big deal.
Yeah, they're just doing it to get over whatever it is.
Yeah, so they can move on. And it's like, no, you are not fully taking into consideration the implications of my feelings.
Yeah.
In what you have done to me.
Yeah.
So I was being a little hard on Abby at first, but I think giving it more consideration, I'm a little bit more on Abby's side.
I think everyone's made a lot of stupid decisions. Yeah. I don't think anyone's really... I don't think most of the people in this movie have made good calls.
No. Like including everyone, mostly Sarah, just Sarah.
Sarah's made... Sarah, these people need to go to therapy before they see each other.
Like, yeah!
We're not going to overcome all this and bullshit it with a fucking girls trip.
Yeah, because, I mean, if you also are thinking that Abby has other stuff going on in her life, this is probably the last thing she needs right now.
100%.
If you're going with that reading.
It's like, does she want to fucking dredge up the past on a what she thought was going to be just kind of a fun little weekend, you know, with her friend? No.
Yep. So they head back, and I don't know if she starts drinking at that point. She's drinking something out of a thermos.
It's whiskey. She's drinking, because she was popping up a bottle of Jim Beam. So she's drinking straight whiskey in her thermos. And I think she remains drunk for pretty much half of the movie at this moment.
Yeah. And Sarah talks with Lou, and she's like, look, what I see over there, like, she's very clearly hurt.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And you have to take that into consideration. So Lou does go over. And instead of, like, apologizing or, you know, even offering an apology for, like, I understand, like, I didn't think it was that serious because we were dumb and in high school. But I also understand, like, that you are very deeply hurt about it. I'm sorry for that. None of that. She's just sort of like, I'll just sit here and you can...
You can just say whatever you want.
Say whatever you want to me.
Get in my face.
Yell at me, hit me, whatever.
It's really shitty.
It's super passive aggressive.
It's super passive aggressive. Like, it gives you need to be the one to let it all out.
It definitely gives me, like, narcissistic mom vibes.
100%, yeah. Like, it was just a shitty way to handle it. Like, that's... That is such a, like, oh, it's not... she's just going back to, like, I don't have the problem here.
You have the problem.
It's like, no, you need to... It's like, you gotta fucking apologize.
So as they're having this conversation, Abby just screams because she... she sees... okay, Goofy. I want this movie, but instead it's Goofy, Mickey, and Donald. Okay, so...
please. Get this fucking throat!
What was that?
slit his fucking throat.
Oh boy.
Gorsh.
Gorsh, Donald. I didn't know you felt that way. So there are some guys in the woods. There are three men. And they come down because they hear some screaming women. And he's just like, they're like, hey. And they start chatting. And she's like, oh, hey. Like, Lou is the one where she's like, hey, I know you. We went to school with your brother. Well, at first she says we went to grade school together. And then also I have a question. What is grammar school?
Elementary school.
Because she says elementary school and then she says grammar school.
Same.
And I'm like, you could just, I know they're interchangeable, but anyway. So she says they went to school together, but she's like, yeah, we were a couple years ahead of you. We were in the same grade as your brother. And he's like, oh, yeah. And it's like kind of awkward.
Yeah, it's a little forced.
It's like, this is the kind of thing that you hope happens, like, at the grocery store and not on a deserted island.
Yeah, everyone kind of feels like they kind of just want to be on their ways. But then Abby's like, well, we got some SpaghettiOs.
Yeah, because they're like, you know, we've been out here hunting and we were going to eat what we caught, but I don't see it. Yeah, because and it's like there's nothing on this island.
Yeah, there's nothing on this island.
There's nothing on this island. And yeah, Abby's like, I've got some SpaghettiOs and we got plenty of alcohol. Drinky, drinky.
Drinky, drinky.
So the guys are, the two other women are like, you're really going to invite these three strange men to like hang with us? Okay, cool.
Yep.
And Abby gets
shwasted.
Drunk as a skunk.
Yep.
She is soaked and is laying it on super thick.
Oh, yeah.
To this guy, Henry.
Henry.
She's laying it on.
I like your beard.
Yeah, she's like, I like your beard. Oh my God, and so. Mm. So Sarah pulls Abby away for a minute and is like, hey, like, because everyone's like being super awkward. And
everyone's like cringing at Abby.
Yeah. She's like, you know, you're married. And Abby's like, no, it's a non-issue.
What does that even mean?
I think she's separated.
Maybe.
I think that's her way of being like, we're separated.
Or she's just saying, let me do whatever. Oh. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. I think
we don't have the context. It could be a lot of things. But yeah, maybe she is separated.
I'm thinking that just based on the way that she reacted.
To like, you don't fucking know my life.
You don't know my life. I think that they're either separated or on the way to a divorce. So she's like, it's a non-issue.
On the way to the divorce store.
Yeah, I gotta pick up my divorce. So
hot fresh divorce. Baked every noon.
Noon, huh?
Yeah.
Oh.
For the lunch rush.
Oh, gosh. So she's like, it's a non-issue. So she goes back and continues to be like super flirty, super handsy with Henry. And Lou's like, hey, the fire, you know, we're running low on wood. I'll go grab some. And then instead, Abby is like, no, I'll go. I know the secret spots. I know secret spots for wood. Oh, okay. So she goes by herself and Lou starts.
Wait, that was a euphemism.
Yes, it was. So they start having this. She starts having a conversation with Henry, but as Abby like is up in the woods, she like signals for him with the flashlight, and so he's like up.
Henry, come get your cock sucked.
Henry, I know a secret place for your wood.
My vagina.
So he goes, he's like, I gotta go pee, hold on. And as they're talking to the other two guys, they find out that they served in both Iraq and Afghanistan together, and one of the things that I think is really funny, they're like, oh yeah, we served together, and she's like, oh, like, what do you mean?
And I'm like, we're both like, what the fuck you mean?
Oh yeah, we used to serve together down at the 99 restaurant.
It's like, yeah, you were at the fucking same restaurant. What do you mean we served? What? It could be anything.
We served together in the drag race war. served.
Damn, dude.
Captain RuPaul gave us a Medal of Honor. No, so these two guys, they had gone. Oh, his name isn't Henry. I think it's Will. Henry's his brother.
No.
Hold on, I'm gonna check.
I think he's Henry. His brother is called like.
Oh, yeah, it is Henry.
Something else. Something with a J.
Okay. Back and ready. So, they are talking about how Henry saved their life. They had gotten some supposedly bad intel about a base, and they had gone in, and they were getting shot at, and Henry came and saved their lives. And they were dishonorably discharged because their superiors, quote-unquote, disagreed with their methods. And I'm like,
so vague. Like,
I'm like, this is giving me real like Vietnam vibes.
Yeah, no, it's like, I'm kind of curious to think if they had a script written up that explains what they might have done.
I think it's supposed to be vague so that way the girls don't ask too many questions.
I get it that it's supposed to be vague, but it's also kind of like.
They sound like the type of people that are like.
They must have like destroyed a village or something.
It's like, we don't care. Like, it's like they are our enemies, civilians or not. They're going down.
Yeah.
Is the vibe I'm getting.
Yeah, that was definitely. Anyway.
Where it's like, oh, I see a child in this base. Headshot.
There must have been something funky like that going on.
Something not great going on. So they got dishonorably discharged, and one of the guys, Derek, he's like, I don't care what anyone says, Henry, he is a hero.
He's a hero.
So I'm like, ooh, there's a little bit of, you can kind of sense there's a little bit of fanaticism going on. So cut back to Abby and Henry. They start making out, and I was just sort of like, she must taste awful. And then she immediately after was like, you taste so good. And I was like, nasty. So they're kissing and she kind of starts pushing away and she's like, I don't feel so good. I'm like, Henry, you better back off. She's gonna like puke in your mouth. She's had so much to drink. But he keeps pushing and he's like, I thought this was fun. What happened to fun, Abby? And you're immediately you're like, oh no.
This immediately became uncomfortable to watch.
I mean, this whole thing's been uncomfortable, but he's giving off the I'm getting my dick wet whether you like it or not vibe.
Oh geez. Yeah.
And he says he trips, but it's, I think he pushes.
No, he's straight.
He pushes her down. He's like, oh, I tripped. And she's like, no, I need you to get off. And he's like,
nah.
He like hits her. Does he hit her?
First, she slaps him.
Oh, she's, yeah.
Then he punches her. Then she.
He attempts to rape her.
Yeah.
And then she grabs a rock and hits him in the head, which. Excellent aim because it kills him. So she screams. Everybody runs up. The two guys immediately throw her off. You know, they throw her to her friends and they're like, Henry, baby, can you hear me? Baby, darling.
Baby boy.
Sir. Master. Are you all right? Like, and then he dies and Derek loses his fucking mind. He's lit. I was surprised because the way that the trailer made it seem was it was going to be these three guys versus these three women.
Yeah, yeah.
And no, Henry immediately dies.
Yeah.
The ringleader dead. So Derek goes rogue and he's immediately like, I'm going to kill you like I killed all those people in the Middle East.
In Vietnam.
And I'm like, oh, shit.
Oh, shit. So then. Everyone's having a scuffle.
Yeah, they scuffle. People are getting
thrown around. Sarah gets smacked in the head by the butt of Derek's rifle, and the screen goes black.
Mm-hmm.
Then the next instance, they wake up, and they're tied together
next to a piece of driftwood.
Next to a piece of driftwood, attached to a piece of driftwood. And they're all there watching Derek and Alex argue about killing them.
Because Alex is...
He's hesitant
because he's just sort of like, doesn't have to be this way.
It's like, why do we need to do this?
Why do we have to do this? Like, they're just girls.
Yeah.
they're gals being pals, just trying to have a girls' weekend. Like, and Derek's like, nah, we're too far in. We gotta.
You're not too far in. I think you're at a point where you did tie these women up and beat them, but I think you're still at a point where you can talk to police about this situation
and be like,
hey, we fucked up.
Yeah, you could even be like, you know, our friend was...
He was being an asshole, though.
Yeah, so he basically was just... Yeah, so he goes over to them, and he's going to say he's going to kill them. And then at one point, because he's, like, talking to them, and at one point, Alex is like, are you going to do it or not? And I'm like, what?
Whoa!
I'm like, what? Where are you on this? I think Alex just wants it to be over with, like, whatever...
Whatever Derek is,
yeah, he's not gonna like. Here. He's not gonna go against Derek.
He doesn't want
Derek.
This like sadistic shit that Derek seems to be into. Mm-hmm. He's just like, just fucking go get it over with.
So then Abby is like, okay, pussy.
Yeah, Derek is like, would you fucking say?
Oh,
would you fucking say?
Well, oh, actually, so first Sarah is like trying to reason with him and is like, it was an accident. Like she thought that Henry was going to rape her, so she tried to fight back, and he's like, nah, she just hit him. She killed my friend. That's what I understand. And I'm like, you're being obtuse, sir.
Yeah,
very. But you're probably on a lot of drugs, so.
Maybe.
He gives me, he's drugged out, I think.
Yeah, he gives, like, opioid addict vibes, for mm-hmm. sure. He's got that look about him.
So, I don't think that's fair to say.
You're saying he's on drugs. We haven't seen him use any drugs.
That's true. Just cut this whole part.
Oh.
So, yeah. So Abby calls him a pussy in what is probably the most ill-advised thing. But
with
at
a man
the same time,
with a gun to your head.
At the same time, it
what,
actually.
What options do you have at that moment?
It pays off,
you know?
Though.
Yeah, it does.
Because she says, what, you have to kill me, you know, you have to have us tied up to kill us. So it does pay off.
Yep.
Because he lets them go, because she appeals to this ego.
Yeah, yeah. Now he's going to hunt them.
Yep, like you said, the most dangerous game.
Yeah, yeah, women.
So the hunt is on.
The hunt is on. They all run off into their different directions in the woods, and they're Derek and Alex are off chasing them around this island.
And that's most of what we get for a while.
Yeah, a lot of chasing. They all kind of hide in their different spots. We'll just kind of skip over that, but like we get
Abby
to the point-
pulls out the. Oh, sorry.
No, it's fine. Abby pulls out her map, yeah, and is wandering about, and she finds what is like sort of a little shelter lean-to that they must have created when they were younger, and she hides out in it for a bit.
It's got, you know,
it's got their names written on it.
Yeah, very, I think that is very good storytelling.
Yeah, that this was sort of like their hangout spot.
Because it's like, you know. The little heart with like two names in it kind of vibe.
Yeah.
So I appreciated that little.
It was a nice little storytelling. I thought it was interesting. And that was the thing is like, I think some of the setup and the lead up has been interesting so far. Like we've been kind of moving it along. You
I think
know?
The action is, not action, the acting is also pretty good.
It's all right.
Derek is the only one that I'm not 100% sold on.
Yeah, and I think that what they do pretty okay at some points is that the conversations are trying to feel more realistic in the situation because very often the three girls are always talking over each other in different times. And it's like, okay, this is kind of a realistic conversation. Some of what they say is a little weird. Some of the deliveries somewhat stilted,
mm-hmm.
but I think it does get a little bit stronger over time. There are some moments where it's like, they couldn't take that again, you know, but...
I bet they had a very limited time in the wildlife sanctuary.
Potentially, yeah. It's like, okay, gotta move it along. Daylight corresponding with that and everything.
Mm-hmm. So Abby gets there first.
Yeah.
And then she hears something. And then the other two girls come in.
Yeah, somehow they found each other. And now they're here.
Yeah. So at first I thought that Abby was maybe looking for that shelter. And that's where the time capsule was. Later we find out that no, she just happened to find this in the course of trying to find the time capsule. And again, there's this sort of like time capsule ex machina that is set up where it's like there's something in, they got to get to the time capsule. Yeah, something helpful still, might be in the time
they
capsule.
They still feel like the need to go to this time capsule that they mentioned in the movie. So they all get together. They're like, okay, what's our game plan? It's like, we got to get the fuck off this island. So that's the first plan. Get the fuck off the island. So a couple ideas. They're like, okay, why don't we wait till it's dark and then we go to our boat and get out of here.
They had also mentioned trying to find the guy's boat.
Yeah.
And I feel like that probably would have...
They wouldn't suspect it.
That's the thing, is like that their boat wasn't near the beach where the men are very obviously going to be waiting for them.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I think it's kind of stupid that they did, yeah, go back to their campsite where they, where all their stuff and belongings are. It's like, no, that's, they're going to be waiting there out of every spot. It's like, that's going to be the spot they're going
to
be around.
So they decide to go to the beach at the very least. And they're having this sort of very quick discussion because I had said something about like, why don't they just swim? And yeah, if it's September, October, it's going to be very cold.
Yeah. So, they said it's August.
No, I think, I don't know if it is August.
They said it was August.
I thought she said we would get hypothermia in 15 minutes, even in August.
Oh, okay. So maybe it is fall.
Saying like, it's if it's you think cold. It's cold in the summer, it's even colder now.
Yeah.
That's how I took it.
Yep. Okay.
Either way, they're probably going to get hypothermia if they do. So Abby decides, she's like, no, I'm going to go for it. And Sarah's like, no, no, no. And
Lou and Abby are
Lou
kind
and Abby
of
like,
yeah,
no.
Let's do it.
And she's like, no, because here's the thing. I will go. And I wonder if there's a part of her that feels like she got them in the situation because she very much spearheads a lot of this.
Yeah.
Very much like, I will sacrifice myself if it gets the two of you off this island.
Yeah, there's a lot of that.
And so she's like, if I can get to the boat, fantastic. If I can't, there's a distraction for you two to get going. But they all decide to go down and they're army crawling across the beach. And then Sarah like
very
starts
loudly.
Very, oh my God. They just stop whispering and they start screaming. And Sarah is like, something's not right. Something's not right. Something's not right. And then she gets up and gets shot. I thought it was a headshot. Jackson, I think you saw it more
it
clearly
like,
than
it
me.
It looks like more shoulder, chest.
So.
Because her head also like snaps back, which wouldn't make too much sense.
Yeah.
Because she was shot from behind. So. It seemed like it was more of a chest shot.
Understood. So, is she down? I said yes. Jackson said no. We'll find out in the course of the rest of the movie.
Yeah, it's like, I thought maybe, yeah, she was just
Horse
kind
girl
of a little
might
hurt.
Come back. The other two, they run into the water?
They do end up trying to swim for it. And they're like, it was funny because on the beach, they're like, no, no, it's not that far. It's not that far. Then they swim like a few feet into the water and they're like, it's too far. It's too far.
So then they kind of course correct. They're not going to the boat. They're going, they're trying to
they're
find another
to,
point of land.
Yeah. So they go like along the coast
and,
of the island.
And the bad thing is now they're soaking wet. And I just watched the Mythbusters episode on the Titanic where they do the hypothermia test. But basically the biggest issue with like when you're in the water is then when you get out of it.
Yeah.
Because then you've got your wet clothes and the air outside that's cold and your body is trying to warm up.
Yeah.
So it fights. It's a harder fight than if you're just like submerged. So they go back to the little lean-to and take off all their clothes.
And they huddle together for warmth. There is a
Which,
purpose.
I
didn't think it was a gratuitous nudity.
No. And it's also...
And I didn't think it was just tits for the sake of tits.
Yeah. There's a part of me that's like, they were like, boobs. Boobs. I also was like, maybe Katie had a crush on Lake Bell and just wanted to get close to her. Because that's who's left. So I didn't think it wasn't really male gazey. Like you see nipples and You actually get some full frontal nudity at some point, but it does seem to be more naturalistic. And there's nothing like, oh, we're going to do, you know, have her bend over or in weird ways or anything like that.
Yeah.
That we normally see in horror movies.
Yeah.
So I give it a pass.
B gives it a pass.
It's fine. So they huddle together for warmth. And my favorite part is like, because Lou is sort of in shock. And Abby is like very calm. But so in order to like get Lou back in a headspace, she just starts slapping her. Like Abby starts slapping her.
They all start slapping each other.
They're slapping each other and grabbing at each other's hair. And she's like, there you are. You're there. We got you. I got you back. We're good. This is what we're going to do. And so they...
We're going to find that time capsule.
We're going to find the time capsule. And Jackson's like, there better be an AR-15.
There better be a gun in here. There's not a gun in this time capsule. What's the point? So...
They... And I was like, so they're going to be naked the rest of the movie. Jackson's like, no, they're going to put their clothes back on. And then we see them walking around in the woods naked. And it's like, oh, no, now it's just the witch.
Yeah. It felt like the witch.
They do find the time capsule.
They dig around in there, bust that bad boy open, and they have the tiniest pocket knives in the world.
Yeah, I was like, I knew it. I was like, there's got to be like a pocket knife or something.
Yeah, I was expecting a bigger knife, maybe.
No, it was, and I'm pretty sure it looks like...
This is the smallest size these pocket knives come in.
And it actually, it didn't even look like the knife side. It did look like they were using, like, the nail file.
Yeah, there's part of the weirdness with that.
Yeah, so...
But then they have this tiny knife, and they decide to make spears. Which they never make a spear, they just make a bunch of sharp sticks.
Yep. The other thing that has occurred is while they're doing this, when they made the run for it into the water, Alex fell and broke his leg.
Oh, yeah, we forgot about that. Like, Alex broke his leg. Yeah, like his bone was sticking out.
I honestly thought Derek was going to put Alex out of his misery.
Yeah, I was also convinced of that.
Because I thought that seemed like that would be an indication that, like, no, he's gone.
Like, he's insane.
He's insane.
Yeah, but no, keeps him alive.
Keeps him alive.
Actually gives him a splint.
Yes. In that instance, it's just sort of like, if he was fully there, it's like, no, put him on the boat and leave.
Yeah, seriously.
No, he's like, you rest here on the beach while I take care of these.
Let me go hunt these girls.
These girls. So, daytime.
They have clothes now.
They've put their clothes back on. And
they have sharp little sticks now.
This, I don't know, like this island, they sort of say the island is very densely wooded, and it must be because... Through this whole time, the only time they ever run into Derek or Alex is when they're on the beach.
Yeah.
So yeah. I'm just sort of like, either it's very big or like they're never overlapping.
I think they're just never overlapping, it seems. So it's like it doesn't look like a giant island from the outside when we look at it. So they just keep missing each other, I guess.
Good. So they army crawl on the beach, and I feel like...
Abby's army crawling on the beach.
It's always like...
She's up.
So loud.
She's hobbling her way over to go slice up Alex's throat.
Mm-hmm.
They have a whole hype-up moment before
Yeah, she
that.
Hypes. She gets hyped by Lou. Because Lou...
Fucking throat.
Lou is like, I'll go do it. And Abby's like, no, I have to do it. That's why I think there might be some guilt there.
Yeah, for
that
sure.
That she's like, this is my fault. My actions put us in. But I'm like, you know who really's fault is this? This is Sarah's fault.
This is Sarah's fault.
But she's dead already, so yeah. It's fine. So she army crawls, and then she snags a branch... Alex looks up, and my thought was like, what is Alex? Is Alex going to ultimately be friend or foe? He is foe. He screams for Derek.
Derek!
So she like gets up and runs and gets on him. Does not grab his gun, which is sitting right there. No, she tries to stab him with the tiny pocket.
She tries to overpower this veteran. His leg is broken, not his arms.
That's what I was like. She does like elbow, like get down on his broken leg at some point.
Yeah, that helps.
Lou does like, she hypes herself up, runs into action, runs right at Derek, who's got a gun.
But then runs into the woods because Derek's got a gun.
You bring a knife to a gunfight.
Sharp stick to a gunfight. So
after a little bit of a struggle, Abby does pick up the gun and shoots Alex, kills him.
Yeah.
So now it is one man
versus two girls.
And they, so they're running through the woods. Lou is running through the woods. Derek caught on her trail. We assume Abby is close behind. They get like to the other side of the island, and it's more of like an open, it's not a field, but it's like an open space, grassy space, heading like down to the rocks.
Yep.
And he's like, where are you gonna go?
Where are you going?
And yeah, he's like, he's taunting her.
Yeah.
Like, I can't words. So he's taunting her, and she's just got the knife. She's like, man up. Yeah, got it. And Abby comes from behind before he can like use the gun. And I was like, where's the gun? She left it on the beach. Jackson, you kind of explained that.
She jammed the gun. She was trying to do a pump reload, but she fucked it up.
Yeah.
And she ended up jamming the shotgun.
And I know nothing about that. So she jams the gun. And so now she is back to tiny pocket knife.
Yeah. She got a little pocket knife and some sticks. She comes in. Gorilla like jumps on Derek's back like a chimpanzee and starts clawing at him and shit, and then they're all just tussling at
they tussle point. Luckily his gun is out of bullets.
Yeah,
he throws, and so it is just, he's got a big knife. So the next part is just kind of chaos. They're stabbing with the pocket knife, with his knife, with
Sticks.
Gouge the eye. I think they should have tried to go for both eyes, but at least they got one eye. There was
one moment where like Derek's on the ground and like both the girls are on top, and they're like, they are straight up doing like wrestling moves on him. Like they do a pile driver. It's really
funny. They do a pretty good job.
Yeah.
They're trying to use the tag team method. Lou gets thrown off, smashes her head on a rock. And he goes in and starts choking Abby.
Yeah.
But Lou comes in back with a sharp stick and goes ga-dunk right in his back. And I definitely thought, I definitely was thinking, so I don't know if you're ever going to watch this anime, so I'm not going to tell you what it is. But there's this anime that I watched recently where this guy gets stabbed in the back. By one, they're like tag teaming him, and he gets stabbed in the back, and the other guy pushes him down, so he goes down and it goes through.
Oh, sick.
And that's what I was expecting, that it's like, just push him down, the stick will go through.
Done.
Skewered, done. That's not what happens. He pulls the stick out, he pulls it out, and then stabs Abby with it in the stomach.
Yeah, and then Lou grabs the knife. And then from behind, slices his throat.
And so he dies. The makeup is not stellar.
No, yeah, like
The
last shot's fine. That first shot of her taking the knife across his throat was very high school.
It also looks really surface production. Level.
Yeah, surface level. It didn't look like she use the knife properly. You know, it's fine.
It's fine.
It's a Kickstarter.
So they scooble their way up and they get on the guy's boat and they take it back to the dock. And I was not thinking those guys definitely are not expecting that when we do finally get to see Abby, because she's mostly been back to as they are driving up on the boat. She just has so much blood down the front of her face. I'm like, she looks like a fucking zombie.
She really does. She looks nasty as hell.
And that's it.
That's the movie.
That's the whole thing.
This is our shortest bonus episode yet.
Yeah.
This was a really, it was an hour 20. So, I mean, it was the length of a Disney movie. Speaking of which, B, before we get into the budget, so what's our Disney cast? Replace the girls with Goofy, Donald, Mickey, and then who are the three veterans?
The three veterans are Snow White, Cinderella, and Aurora, the three original Disney princesses.
There we go. Hunting Donald, Goofy, and Mickey, through the woods. I love that. What a twist.
What a twist. Yeah, so there is not... I don't think there's a budget.
Not a whole lot of budget. What'd they get on their box office? Or their Kickstarter?
I also can't find that.
Oh, really?
Hold on, let me look some more.
Mark Duplass pocketed the check.
Yeah, just the whole thing.
Nom, 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 nom. Delicioso.
Yeah, the only other place... So Wikipedia's not giving me anything, so let me take a little peruse down IMDb road.
I am trending down IMDb road. Without a ding-dong thing on my mind.
If I want it, I have to pay for IMDb Pro.
Boo! We don't want it, IMDb!
Yeah, so I don't know...
No box office.
Yeah, I don't know what their budget is, but I can tell you what people thought of it.
Yeah, tell me what people thought of it.
So, we have a 4.8 out of 10 on IMDb.
Hell yeah.
53% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Damn.
And 46% on Metacritic.
All right, so we're like halfway, we're kind of in the middle towards not so good.
Yep, critic, let's see. Mixed, mostly mixed reviews. Bloody Disgusting gave the film 3 out of 5 stars, questioning the intelligence of the female characters over what he saw were stupid choices and lack of character logic.
There was some bad choices, I will say that.
Justin Lowe of The Hollywood Reporter said the film was satisfying. But the film's female characters hewed perhaps too closely to genre stereotypes.
Maybe a little bit.
I'm also reading this off of Wikipedia. Alyssa Rosenberg of Think Progress praised the film, saying, quote, there's something really powerful about the promise of a piece of... the promise of a piece of pop culture that insists that women have the right to say no at any point in a sexual encounter, no matter how flirtatious she's been or how willing she's seemed up to that point, and that she has the right to say no without being judged or attacked, unquote.
That seems
that very well.
That seems to be the crux of the whole movie, actually. It's revolving around that situation of, like, when consent is withdrawn, which it can be at any time in an encounter.
And she did. And
then she had to hit him with a rock.
And the thing, that's the thing, is personally, I think that situation, she did not mean to kill him.
No.
But she meant to get him off.
Yes.
And unfortunately, she just happened to have really good aim.
Yeah. Aimed a little too well.
So that's my thing, is like... But yeah, I think that there are some things... I really did not like this whole time capsule as Machina. I think the whole time
capsule...
The whole
stupid.
Time capsule could have been cut.
It was meaningless.
I think that... I wish something different was done with Alex. I think he's a little too wishy-washy.
Yeah,
like, Alex either have him have him be, like...
Alex could have been some kind of ally at some point.
Where he realizes that Derek has gone too far. He's not on board. Instead, he's super wishy-washy, and it comes off more as he's like, I don't know, man, just do what you're gonna do. Make your choice and do it, bro.
Yeah.
You know, there could have been more done with him. Even having him turn on... Even if it was either him turning on Derek or Derek putting him out of his misery. Either way, I think could have been more... done a little bit more with him as a character.
Yeah, I completely agree.
Derek is interesting, but I don't know totally about the actor. Was not 100% sold.
But, you know, everybody could have been flushed out a little bit better here. And yeah, did the characters act here stupidly? Yes, they did. There was a lot of decisions that they made that were stupid. And I was not a fan of this whole time capsule thing. You could cut that
whole time capsule shit
out of there, and you'd still have the same movie. And it's like, they needed the fucking knives to sharpen sticks. You could use a rock. you're fine.
There's so many rocks.
Yeah.
So there, yeah, there's a lot. There's a lot of, I think it also, if they had made it the film a little bit longer.
Yeah.
And made some, I think if they had more time, they could have fleshed the characters out more, made those changes in a way that makes sense.
I think they could have.
And not try and rush through it with the time capsule ex machina.
I honestly think, get rid of the time capsule, give some more space. Maybe a different location, maybe not necessarily a fucking island, but maybe like the woods.
Yeah.
Something that's a little bit more spread out.
Guess what? Baxter State Park.
There you go. And also, I think add like two more bad guys. Because I think like, I think the height of the tension came when like Derek is injured. I'm sorry, Alex is injured and Derek is like going nuts. I think that would have been a great peak moment, but we like get to that immediately. And it could have been like a more like they kind of dwindle, the guys kind of dwindle or like get injured or hurt or die.
That would have,
that'd be a little bit more interesting, it would
have,
I think.
It would have been more interesting if there are more guys than there are of the girls and they start taking them out.
Yeah, yeah. Because then it's sort of like, oh, they're doing something here.
So I do, again, I think what we got was passable.
It's fine.
I didn't hate all of it.
No.
Deeply uncomfortable in a lot of points.
Yeah.
Which I don't think Mark Duplass is...
I think you're right.
He's not a stranger to that.
No, I think he does. I think he does really uncomfortable stuff. Creep is a great example. That's where he hits his... that's his magnum opus as far as that kind of style of writing and horror. So I think that this was an interesting... It was almost like a case study of like his development in that kind of writing, I guess.
Because this is before Creep.
Yeah,
Creep comes out two years later.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm not gonna watch it again.
No.
But I think that you described it as like it is a passable like student/indie film.
That's what it felt like. Immediately when it started, I was like, this feels like an okay student film.
So, thank you so much for joining us for August's bonus episode. You can let us know, have you seen this movie? What do you think? Do you have other ideas about how this movie could have been different? Or are you going to defend it till the day you die? Reach out to us at homegrownhorrorpod@gmail.com or on Instagram at homegrownhorrorpod. You can also hit us up in Spotify because there is now a Q&A. And sometimes if you want to leave some stars and a review, you can do that on Apple Podcasts. But all of this to say, we just like the fact that you're here enjoying this discussion about sometimes not great movies.
Thanks for joining us, homies.
Bye.